to God. Man, I'll tell you what, all the praisers came out tonight. Hallelujah. That was good. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. It's really, you know, it's encouraging as a pastor to just stand up here and to hear people, you know, responding like that, because what that means is that people are engaged. Obviously, I haven't preached yet, so it's not about what I'm preaching, but they're engaged in the service, and that's what's important, amen, is that we come out to hear what God has to say and see what God wants to do, amen. Praise the Lord. I know my wife maybe had mentioned, or they mentioned this weekend, you know, I got to spend, I was in my pastor's service on Sunday, so I was blessed to do that. So I wasn't here, but we have a little bit of instruction about Tuesday nights. And, you know, really, I've just been knowing in my heart that Tuesday nights have to go in kind of a different direction. You know, this has really been brewing in me for some time, though, well over a year. I mean, it's been for quite a while. You know, and I wanted to seek the Lord on some of that, you know, and even about having Tuesday nights and stuff, and make sure that we weren't just doing it to do it. You know, that we're just not having it. You know, you could say, well, isn't it good to have a church service? Well, yes, but the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. So even if it could seem like a good idea, amen, I could come up with all kinds of good ideas, but that doesn't mean it's God. And as I, you know, about 2 weeks ago, as I was seeking the Lord just before service, you know, and I was thinking about, like, Tuesday night, I was like, what about that, you know? And I just sensed in my heart that it was just time to start, and it was good. You know, all the leading of God isn't always a loud, booming voice, but more times than not, it's going to be in the still, small voice. I found that over and over to be true, and that's why I'm always leery of people, not just because I've found that to be true, but I've seen it from others. I've been taught that to be true as well. You know, people that hear from God all the time, they're hearing a loud voice, and, you know, God's giving them all these visions and all these. I'm not opposed to visions. Please believe me. I love it when God gives me visions. Every once in a while, I got one. Amen. Every once in a while, you know, there'll be a voice. I'll hear a tangible voice. But God leads primarily. He wants to lead us through the word and through this still small voice. And why is that? It's because that takes faith. And God is a faith God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just to let you know some other things, you know, over especially the past year, I have been doing a lot of, you know, in the world, I guess we would have called it soul searching, but I've just been doing a lot of just wanting to make sure that I'm accurate. Amen. And this has been something that I have been on, you know, if you've been in my household, especially my wife, you know, she's had to deal with me, and there's been ups and downs in that, because you know, you think you get something, and then you got to make sure, and then you verify it, and then, you know, with that, there's questions, and you question the entirety of the things that you preach sometimes. And in that, you know, I don't want you to don't get scared, like all of a sudden Pastor Jeffers is going to change everything up and it's going to be completely different. That's not what's happening. You know, the foundations of our faith I hold to, and the foundations are very simple. In fact, we've been really focusing more on the foundations of our faith. But, you know, being accuracy is important to me. I don't want, you know, I love what Reverend Greer always says. He says, if you embrace the false, you can't have the real. I don't want to have false moves of the spirit. I don't want to have false God. I don't want to have false church. I want to have the real stuff. Because what I've learned is that, not I'm saying I learned this, I just know this, and this is pretty evident, but the false doesn't heal people. The false doesn't fix people. The false doesn't set people free. What was it that changed my life? It wasn't believing a false gospel, but it was believing the truth of the gospel. Amen? And so as your pastor, what I would ask from you is just to continually to hold me up in prayer, continually that I would hone in on accuracy. And I would ask you to join with me in that, and believing for those things. And God has shown me a lot. There's a lot that I've been set free from, but there's a lot that I've been given to. And with that, there is a weight that can come with it. And so I just throw that out there for you if you're faithful to pray. And even if you're not, well, there's something you can pray for. Amen. You can get faithful on. But I want to be accurate. I don't want to stand before, and this is the biggest thing, I don't want to stand before God and say, hey, why were you telling my people that? It wasn't true. You know, that was emotions and stuff like that. And people do a lot of things based on emotions, especially in our kind of circles. You know, we believe in the move of the Holy Ghost. We believe in, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit and all these things. And, you know, there's But with that, there can be some inaccuracies that are easy to get into. And so my goal is to just not do that. So praise the Lord. That's just a little bit of what's going on with me. Glory to God. I didn't necessarily want to say that all on Sunday morning, because not everybody on a Sunday morning, not everybody on Sunday morning cares. Some people are just like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just showed up, you know. So praise the Lord. But if you came out tonight, you came out definitely purposeful. Praise the Lord. And I just wanted to throw that out there. Amen. So continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for what God has us to do, knowing that we're all connected together in this. Amen. So tonight's message is called Stick to the Plan. Glory to God. We're going to be getting into some good stuff here, I believe. Amen. God has taken us to good places. You know, one of the greatest things that I've learned in this whole process and throughout my life, but this whole process, is that the importance of trusting in God, importance of trusting in what God has said. When God said it, you can bank on it. Amen. If he's taught it to us through the word, that it's something that we can stand on. You know, there can be, with a lot of different things, and as we saw this, especially in this year, that there was a lot of people that say a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of people that prophesy different things, the outcomes of the election and what's going on and stuff like this, and a lot of it was inaccurate, you know, and some of these people were good-hearted people. And it's so important to know that good-hearted people can miss it. It doesn't make them bad people, amen, but it can mean that they're inaccurate. And we want to be careful about that. And that's, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of man, amen, that it's a sharp sword, glory to God. You know, and it separates the soul and the spirit. What does that mean? The spirit tells us things, but the soul tells us things. I had a pastor friend of mine say to me once, he said, really, when people come to you, he said, wouldn't you say, most of the time when your people come to you and say that the Lord has told me this or the Lord has told me that, wouldn't you say that a lot of times that's inaccurate? And I said, absolutely. I've absolutely found that to be true. And that's not because the people's hearts are wrong, but it's because they haven't been taught how to discern, or they're not listening completely to how to discern between the two. And the number one way we discern the spirit is we discern it with the word, amen? But that's also how we discern the soul, amen? And if I get into a message that the Lord started giving me for Sunday today, if we get into that week, we're going to be talking about more of that, but I'm not preaching that tonight. Tonight we're preaching about the plan. So go ahead and flip with me to Philippians. There we go. Let's go to Philippians. I didn't even plan that one. Flip on over to Philippians 1:6. Amen. Glory to God. Accuracy. You know, the number one thing I've been over the years, you know, and I've known this to happen to other people too. Over the years, I started the church I started in, grew up in, wasn't anything like the churches we're in now. And I've been to all kinds of other churches in between. I've been to very charismatic, very religious, very all different kinds. It doesn't matter. And I've seen a lot of different things. Amen. There's been times where I've been convinced of stuff in being parts of these congregations. And sometimes when I've gotten burnt, I've been convinced of other things afterwards. But the one thing that I can tell you that stands true through my whole life, and this is the thing that I knew, was God is good and his word is good. And God is somebody, and his word is something that you can trust, amen? And so as long as we can be corrected and stick to this, we will always be helped. But it's when we stray from that we get into our own ideas and our own plans. And if anybody thinks that, you know, that that's just not something that everybody is, or that they think some people are immune to it, they're wrong. Nobody's immune to it, because the word tells us that no one is immune to it. How does it tell us that? Because it warns us. And if it warns us about it, it means that we're subject, or we could be subject to these things. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we want to be accurate. So let's go here to Philippians 1:6. Amen. Being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read this to you in the Amplified. It says, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing. I'm convinced of it. Amen. This is what Paul is telling the Philippians. I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, right up until the time of his return. developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know this about me, as you may know about yourself, that where I am, I didn't get me here. I didn't get myself to this place. The life that I was choosing for myself did not lead to this. Amen. Many of you sitting in here, we all have testimonies of some sort. Amen. The life that you were living did not lead you to this. It didn't lead you to the place of goodness that God is in your life. And if you don't know that He's good in your life, well, my brothers and sisters, you just haven't been looking. Because that's really what we need to focus on. So we need to find those things. Amen. Because God is good. The Bible says it. Glory to God. And I've seen it to be true. But I didn't get myself here. This wasn't my idea. Amen. So that must mean that God's got a plan in all this. Amen. If I didn't straighten my life out, I was hell-bent on going to hell. To tell you the truth, if you want to talk about the way that I was living, I embraced my sin. I didn't want to, I wanted relief from the pain that I was suffering in life, but I embraced my sin. I didn't want to quit smoking. I didn't want to quit drugs. I didn't want to quit fornicating. I didn't want to quit doing my own thing, going where I wanted to go, doing what I wanted to do, not answering to anybody, praise the Lord. I didn't want to quit any of that. Praise the Lord. But there was at some point that there was an intervention, praise the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit led me to a place that I am at today. And of course, we believe that God is going to lead us further. But how many know that this scripture, just because it says that God, that Jesus, He who begun a good work in you will complete it, doesn't mean that if you're unwilling to complete it, that He'll still complete it. Because just as you have to be willing to go in the first place, you have to be willing to fulfill the call that you've been called to. And so if you're not willing to do that, glory to God, you're never going to get there. Amen? Praise the Lord. If we are looking for the leading of God to bring us into an idealized situation or place, we will be looking for a long time. Let me say that again. This I heard this in my spirit this afternoon as I was preparing. If we are looking for the leading of God to bring us into an idealized situation, now when I say idealized situation, what I mean is idealized in our mind. What we idealize as perfect. An idealized situation or place, we will be looking a long time. Now I'm going to give you one of my struggles. I'm going to talk about one of my struggles real little, just a little bit here. It's going to seem kind of even a little bit dumb, but maybe some of you have the same struggle. But I've been finding myself in recent years struggling with this thing we call winter. Just don't like it anymore. Not like I used to. I used to love winter. And don't get me wrong, I still get goofy about the first snowfall and stuff like that. But after months and months and months, I'm just like, let's just move somewhere warm, amen? And as we see the world falling apart, we get that there's no place warm anymore. It doesn't exist, amen? That the winter, I was saying today as a joke, that winter is kind of trying to convince us that it ain't going away. It's not going anywhere. But, you know, in my mind, it'd be ideal to live somewhere else. But if you had asked me 5 years ago, my thoughts of idealized place would have been different. It would have been snow probably. It would have been more snow, you know. I still get excited for it, but I don't like to be inconvenienced like I used to. You know, I start finding things like, you know, being cold is not convenient. Shoveling snow, it's not convenient. Even plowing snow. When I first got a four-wheeler with a plow, I was really excited about that. I was plowing everything I could get around, amen? But then you know, that wears out after a while, and sooner or later, it becomes an inconvenience again. It's not idealized. That's because nothing in the natural is really ideal. This world that we live in, we have a mind, we have lusts, we have tastes that can draw us into a whole mess of places, a whole bunch of different things. If you don't know this, praise the Lord, then you're probably under the age of twenty. But the thing that I've been finding as I get older is that what my ideal is changes. And that's because my opinions of things changes. My understanding of things changes. My taste in things change. I used to like celery. Hate celery now. I don't know why. It just changed. Once when celery was quite ideal, I'd put celery in it. Give me celery salt. Give me celery this, celery that. Now I'm like, get it away from me. I don't want anything to do with that. Amen. What happened? I don't know. But my wife says that that happens more than just over the years. She thinks that that'll happen sometimes day to day. I'll tell her, she'll make a meal. I'm like, this is a great meal. We'd love to have this again. And then she'll make it again. And I'll be like, this is terrible. We like to be honest. Well, at least I like to be honest. You know what it is? I'm a Michener. Many of you don't know this. See, I've been spending a lot of time with my grandfather because my grandfather is in the process of dying. I mean, we're all, you know, bodily dying, but he is very close to dying. And so I've been spending some time with him and just last week and really got some great impartations. I've been learning some wonderful things through it. And that's my grandfather that is the, you know, my grandparents were the foundation of my faith. I was talking to him the other day and I said, he was telling me one of his stories, and when he was telling his stories, at one point he had mentioned about breaking rules because he was a Michener, and he said Micheners break rules. And so I asked him. I said, Grandpa, why is that? I said, why do Micheners break rules? Because this is something inherent in me that I just have always wanted to do: break rules. If you give me a rule, I want to break it. Not always to be bad, but just sometimes because it's like I just don't want to follow that. Amen. I said, why do Micheners break rules? He says, because they're annoying. And I said, what's annoying, Micheners or rules? To which he answered, both. Praise the Lord. And so we just have kind of a way about us, you know, it's just kind of, sometimes we do things we don't know why. And so if you've suffered from that, yeah, rough around the edges. So if you've suffered from that at my hands, I'm sorry, praise the Lord. Just talk to my wife, she can have pity on you, praise the Lord. She's an expert at dealing with Micheners, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. But where was I? I don't know where I was. But we have to understand that that life isn't just, and life with Christ isn't going to be ideal. It's not going to always be what we want it to be. It's not always going to look the way we want. But we can guarantee this, that it will be best. It will be good. And it will be for the overall best and good as well. The life that God has for us, the work of salvation that he works in us, is overall good. Amen. It doesn't mean every minute is without trial or that every minute, you know, and there's some people that try to teach us in the faith. And this is actually one of the things that I struggled with sometimes in our camp that we see. When I say our camp, I mean the people that believe the way that we believe, you know, that they believe that you can use faith to stop everything, but not all things are meant to be stopped. And we have to understand this, you know. There's a lot of things I could go into, and I just don't even have the time to. But we have to understand that not all things are to be. The key is knowing what is to be stopped, or what is to go forward. Paul didn't necessarily try to stop everything, but he followed the Spirit. Jesus didn't stop everything. In fact, we see this over and over in the ministry of Jesus. He didn't heal everyone who was sick. He didn't fix everybody's life. He didn't, but there is a key. That doesn't mean we throw out the baby with the bathwater. That doesn't mean that God is not a healer, because he is. There's reasons for some of that, and not all of that we can get into today, because I can't preach the whole gospel in one sitting, amen? But the point that I'm trying to make is we can still believe God for good. We can still trust God for good. In fact, we should only trust God for good. We should only believe him for good. But we have to know that what God is going to deliver to us good is not always idealized, and is not always what we idealize. In other words, God has me here in this town, regardless of whether I want to be here or not. He has me here because of what he wants to do. And he's connected you also with this church, not because of you or just because of the town, but because of what he wants to do in you. And he's connected us together because of the plan that he has for us jointly. So God, you know, God does these things. He brings us together. And when I talk about idealized, I mean, we just think about our brothers and sisters in the faith. Surely if you've been in this church for any length of time and you've been connected at all or whatever, there's probably somebody in here you don't idealize, that you don't think is somebody, oh, I just wouldn't want to spend time with them, or I might not want to even look at them. You know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. I certainly wouldn't want to listen to them any longer. But we have to understand that God has brought us together for a purpose. And because he's brought us together for a purpose, we have to make the most of that. And when I say we have to make the most of that, praise God, maybe that person is even me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not your ideal pastor. But that's why it's so important for you to know where you're called. Because if you know where you're called, it doesn't matter who I am. If you know you're called there, then you just know that you're there for a part of that. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. And to be honest with you, maybe you're not the ideal sheep. But if you're here, I can know that you're called to be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so and what I found is, and this is the way I kind of look at Michener's too. We're kind of like, you know, carpenters by trade. There's a lot of carpentry in there. And one of the things that Michener's and carpenters use is sandpaper. And sandpaper is rough. Sandpaper doesn't feel good if you rubbed it against your skin. But if you've got something you need smoothed out, if you see, you know, those that abrasiveness in that sandpaper is what does it. Amen. And so sometimes the things that we feel are abrasive in our lives are actually things that are making us smooth, that are making us better. You know, my grandpa always told me, he said, you know, your paint job is only as good as your sand job, which is true. If you don't sand good, then the paint's not going to, it's not going to be as good. Amen? And it's not as nice of a finish. Well, God wants us all to have a nice finish. He wants his church to have a nice finish. Amen? And so he's called us together. He's brought us together for a purpose. Amen? And we have to know that we didn't do this. We didn't bring us, even if you kind of came here by accident, there's something that brought you here. And if you really think about it, and I can say this, because I know this to be true. If you really think about it, you probably know, or you could probably understand that God brought you here, and probably even understand that, like, be sure that he brought you here, amen? That you didn't have to have someone to tell you. But you know what happens so often is, you know, again, like that sandpaper, you know, sometimes the word that is being preached, sometimes the Bible, you know, sometimes Jesus was abrasive. There wasn't, you know, Jesus wasn't the Mormon Jesus, just so you know. Jesus wasn't walking around, you know, with his flowing locks all perfectly, you know, and just always real super sweet. And then the lambs and everything were cuddling up against him and stuff like that. There was times where Jesus cracked the whip, literally, right? There's times where he drove people out of the temple and he called people, you know, the spawn of Satan, basically. I mean, really is what he said. And these types of things. And so, you know, I haven't ever done that to you, praise the Lord. But you understand that sometimes, you know, there's a need for that, so we get more perfect. So the picture, the overall picture is better, amen? Because the picture isn't just about the individual lives, but the picture is about what we do together. The picture, you know, I love, my wife filled me in a little bit on what she preached this Sunday, and I just love that. And I understand that when she preached that, probably to some of you, even maybe all of you, that there was an aspect of that that's like, man, maybe you didn't feel like you missed it in an area, or maybe you walked away. That's okay. But I would stand by that message, because her and I have talked about those things to quite some length. And this is the thing that we know, that the more people do that, the more we're going to be Christ-like, because that's what Jesus did. Now listen to me. Jesus, if you don't believe that Jesus put up with the same kind of stuff, he had somebody on his staff the entire time that he knew was going to not just betray him, but betray him to death. I said betray him to death. Jesus knew it the whole time. He knew who he was. Now, in some things we see, yeah, he loved him anyway. He washed his feet anyway. The things that we see, some of the things that he did, Judas did, were not things that were, as a leader, or as a leader of a ministry or anything else, some of those things were not things that you would enjoy, you know. When he was pilfering from the money bag, from the offerings and stuff like that. He was taking money out. He was complaining about what the Lord was doing. I mean, if anyone knew what to do with the money, I'm thinking Jesus probably did, but he complained about it, right? See, we read those stories and we just see those little accounts and we just kind of skim over them, but we forget that there was a very natural, very human interaction there. That when Jesus was having these conversations, and when he was rebuking them, and when he was having to rebuke them, listen, nobody loves to rebuke anybody. If you do, there's something wrong about you. It's a bad spirit. And Jesus didn't have a bad spirit, so I'm sure that he wasn't joyful about rebuking them on anything. But when he had to, it was abrasive, and it wasn't something. So we forget sometimes there's that humanness to that side of the Lord as well. But we don't look at, you know, my pastor always told me, he said, you know, everybody in your church is one sermon away from leaving you. there's truth to that. And what he meant by that is basically that at any given time, you could preach something that will offend somebody so much that they'll leave you. We've seen it. I've seen it this year. Maybe not this year, but, you know, in the past year, we've seen it. You know, where people get offended by something or they just can't deal with something. Maybe there's things that you preach over and over and over again that somebody doesn't like. And I know what some of those things are. Heck, sometimes I know when I'm doing it what they are. Praise the Lord, because I can see the faces of people. I can see people growling at me and getting mad and sneering and all these things. Let me tell you something. Probably if you're feeling it inside, you're showing it outside. And that's just something that I've learned over the years, is that if you're feeling it, and unless you are a really good liar, and I'm just telling you, none of you are. Praise the Lord. And so you're feeling it on the inside. You're probably showing it on the outside, amen? And listen, I'm not a good liar either. I do the same thing. I try like crazy. You know how it is. Like if you get one of those moments where you're like, oh, I've been in a service before. I've been sitting there. Man, I even had somebody say something. You want to hear a good story? I was sitting in service one day, and pastor started preaching something. And I knew that there was an interaction between me and somebody else who was sitting very close by. It wasn't my wife. But I knew that there was somebody else sitting, there was an interaction between us that he wasn't dealing with specifically, but he was dealing with spiritually. In other words, he was picking up in the spirit. He had to preach this thing. He was preaching it, and it was nailing me like lightning bolts and laser eyes. Amen? I was getting it. But, you know, I just say, okay, I'm going to sit there, and I'm not going to be that one. I'm not going to show my emotion. I'm not going to show this is me, right? So I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, what happens? I can feel the warmth start going up. And you know what happens when your face gets warm? It also gets red. It's one of those times when I wish I was like my real dad, Reverend Tony Jones. Praise the Lord, because, you know, if he's getting red, nobody's going to see it. Praise the Lord. But that wasn't wasn't the case, and you know, I could just feel it, and then I could feel that other person's beady eyes, just they are seeing me. And so they're seeing me get red, and what are they seeing in their heart? And see, the thing is, the truth of the matter was this, in that situation, I wasn't completely wrong. They were actually probably a little bit more in the wrong, but that didn't matter because there was wrong. Yeah. Amen? And what did they see? They saw my face getting red. They saw my conviction, and they were taking that as they're right. Now, they were so gracious after the service to come up to me and free me from that thing. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, it happened. Amen. I didn't say anything. Glory to God, I acted right. But the point that I'm saying is we all know what it's like. You know, sometimes our emotions come out, and it's how you think you can control it, but you just know you can't sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have to get away from this idea of idealized situations. That, you know, there's going to be interactions, you know, like there's been times where as a pastor, both as a pastor and not as a pastor, but a lot as a pastor, where people have brought things to me. Like when I mean brought things to me, I mean bring things to me that I've had to deal with. And I'm thinking about one in particular, and the person is not here anymore. At least I don't believe they are. Amen. But I was thinking about one, and I got mad because I'm sitting there thinking, why are they making me have to go through and deal with this? Because of what they're doing, now I have to deal with this. I have to be the bad guy. I have to get uncomfortable. I have to say something, and it made me mad. You know, sometimes things aren't ideal, and I'm glad those times are few and far between. Now that I said it, probably something is going to... No, I'm just kidding. That's it. But you know, sometimes you have to deal with situations like that. But what is maturity in the faith? What that teaches us is that we can deal with things that are abrasive. We can deal with things that maybe we don't understand. If we're mature in the faith, even when it's not right. You have to understand, y'all know I'm not perfect, right? Praise God. You know who else isn't perfect? My pastor isn't perfect. Yeah, you aren't perfect. Praise the Lord. But my pastor ain't perfect. Well, I didn't mean it like that, like... No, you definitely aren't perfect. That's all us pastors think. I know I'm not perfect, but I really know that you aren't. No, that's not how I think at all. Man, what's that saying? I'm the one in need of prayer. Glory to God. That's how I feel that all the time. Like I know that about myself, that only by the grace of God do I stand here. Only by the fact that this message is coming out and at all is only by the grace of God. If you only knew, amen. But my pastor's not perfect. His pastor's not perfect. we're not going to hit the nail on the head every single time. God didn't call us to be perfect and to hit the nail on the head. He called us to be obedient. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so if God has brought us together, he must have a purpose. Right? But it's up to us to discover and fulfill that purpose. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Oh, I know what I'm going to read. While you're turning there, I'm going to read this. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the Amplified. It says, faithful is he. This is how this scripture came to me. So that's why I bring it up. Is this next part. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself. And this is the part that I kept hearing over and over in my spirit. Utterly trustworthy. Praise the Lord. And he will also do it. Fulfill his call by hallowing and keep you. Now this is a person who submits to him. You know, we've talked a lot about submission and submit to his way and submit to his word and submit to his truth. Obviously, all that stuff is included and implied here. But utterly trustworthy. And what I loved about this scripture, as you turn to Hebrews 10, what I love about this scripture is because in times where I've questioned everything, and again, not questioning my faith, I don't question if Jesus is Lord. I don't question if God is the Father and he has Jesus as Lord and there's a Holy Spirit that baptizes us and all these. You know, I don't question any of that. You know what I mean? But sometimes I question our doctrine. Sometimes I question our actions or how we go about doing things and things like that. Amen. Or whatever. Or sometimes I question what I thought to be true about certain different things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is what he reminded me of. And I was talking about perfection of leaders and stuff like this. He reminded me, utterly trustworthy is he who has called me. So the one who's calling me, and I love that it says calling you to himself, amen. Because see, God doesn't just call us. He calls us. God doesn't just say, hey, Jeff, come on over here. Thank God, because I'd have missed it. And you would have too. How many times did God call me? He's calling me constantly. Just like he's calling you constantly, just like he's calling all of us constantly. God's calling us to his plan constantly. Even if we're in his plan, you know what he's doing? He's calling out to us. He's still saying, come in. At least I picture it like this, like if God's standing before us, he's like, come on, come on, come on, look, keep coming. You're on the right path. Nope, wrong path. Come on over here. That's how God does things. He keeps us, he keeps calling out to us and keeps us on the right path. But I love that it says utterly trustworthy, because that's our God. And that's exactly one of the hard times, what I mean is one of the hard times in my mind when I'm dealing with this. Like, oh, Lord, I want to be right before you. And this is a plea of mine all the time. Lord, I want to be right before you. I want to be right before your people. I don't want to lead people astray. I want to teach people right. I want to take people further into your plan. Amen? And this is what he reminded me. I'm utterly trustworthy. Not me, him. God is utterly trustworthy. It means to the uttermost, utterly. He's like he's not just trustworthy, he's utterly trustworthy. No limit. He's over the overboard trustworthy. Amen? Glory to God. So even when people fail you, even when I fail you, even when your neighbor fails you, even when the person sitting next to you in the seat today fails you, even when your spouse fails you, even when your kids fail you, even when whoever fails you, God is utterly trustworthy. This is the greatest thing that we have. Even if we completely messed it all up, even if we completely missed it, God is still trustworthy. Amen. Glory to God. That's for a guy like me, that means something. Because I messed up pretty bad. I messed it up not like recently. I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to get into a confession here and tell you why, you know, somebody else has to pastor now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's nothing like that. But I mean, in my past life, and you know, as I was living life, and I would mess up and mess up and mess up. And even when I was trying to be right, I'd mess up. He was utterly trustworthy. He kept calling to me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you found Hebrews 10? I'm glad you have, because I haven't. Hebrews 10, verse 19. No, not chapter 19, Jeff. Hebrews 10, verse 19. We'll read through verse 25. It says here, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. These are some pretty heavy words right here. Having boldness, talking about us. We're the brethren, we're the sister, right? Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is the first thing that we need to understand. You see, when Paul was writing this, we believe it was Paul. Some of us do, some of us don't know, but I believe it was Paul. I don't know why I believe it was Paul because I was told it was Paul. Amen. I don't really care who it was, but they were writing good anyway. But when whoever wrote this, praise the Lord, they said, therefore, brethren, having a boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, they were speaking to people who understood what the holiest meant. The holiest was the place in the temple where the Holy of Holies, they called it. It's where the Holy Spirit, the Ark of the Covenant, sat. The Holy Spirit resided in there, glory to God. And no man could enter there at all except for one priest once a year. And when he did, he had to go in there with clean and all this stuff. And they would tie a rope to his foot. And he'd wear bells on his ankles, right? I think bells or bells somewhere. And the reason they did were on his garment. I can't remember exactly where it was. Doesn't matter. He was wearing bells. So he went into the Holy of Holies with bells on and a rope tied to his foot. And the reason that the rope was tied to his foot is because if he dropped dead because he was in the presence of God, because he had unrepentant sin or whatever, they could pull him out so he didn't stinketh. That's literally what that was. Can you imagine being the priest going in there? I'm telling you what, if we had a true understanding of what reverence and honor was supposed to be in the local church, people would enter a little bit differently. Because if you knew that you could walk in and just get zapped dead because you were stupid, my God, there'd be a lot smarter people around here. Or there'd be a lot less people in the seats. Because this is the truth. And see, this is we want greater moves of God, do we not? Don't we want to see the outpouring of the Spirit? But we have to understand that this is the kind of stuff, when you get close to holy, that's the kind of mentality you have to have. You can't be casual coming to the holy, because if you do, you're going to be leaving horizontally. Amen? They'll be burying you. Glory to God. There has to be. Why is that? Because to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? This is why. This is part of the abrasiveness that's needed in our lives. My God, I wish I had 10 hours tonight. This is part of the abrasiveness that's needed in our lives, because God is trying to get us to that place where we can be fully in his presence and carry these things, but do so. I know we're washed by the blood of Jesus. That's true. But listen, somebody, you know this full well, somebody who comes in is just as saved as you are. They come in off the street, drug user, whatever, doesn't matter. They come in off the street, they're just as saved as you are. But you know full well they don't have access the way that you do. And if you don't, then you don't know anything about God. Because God doesn't let sin into his presence. You know, there's a lot of people that are teaching like you can be saved and still be sinning out there sinning. Sure, you can. That is a possibility. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You'll never know God. You'll never know the presence of God, because he still isn't residing in filth. He isn't going to reside there. He isn't going to partake of that. Well, he'll save you, glory to God. You know, I was talking about, I was with my grandpa this afternoon. It's funny. I'm going to be doing part of his funeral. He's not even dead yet, and I'm going to be doing part of his funeral. But I can say this because I don't think he would care, amen. In fact, he told me to say something. I don't know. Well, I preached tonight because I told him I had a service tonight, you know. But as I was sitting there with him, you know, we were talking about his funeral. He was talking about what he wants said and stuff like that, and what he wants my part to be of it, and so on and so forth. A week ago, I couldn't even talk to him because I'm like, you know, tears and emotions and stuff. And I believe the Lord let me get through that, glory to God, so I could get on to this. You see, if you stay in, if somebody's, listen, especially if somebody's going to heaven, we can't stay in perpetual turmoil and sadness. That's not God, that's the devil. And so God will bless us and give us ability. But at any rate, he said to me, let me see, I wrote this down. I'm going to share it with you. Mind if I share it with you? He said, don't preach a sermon. Oh, that's about talking about when I'm at his funeral. He said, don't preach a whole sermon. He must know me. He was talking about how eternity starts when you get saved. Because that's kind of the place I wanted to take the conversation today, as we're talking about death and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, Grandpa, soon you're going to be in glory. You know, I was talking about that. And, and we were talking about that. He said, all the good we do does not usher in, does not usher us into eternity, but it should change how we get there. And I was thinking about that. He said eternity, he was talking about how eternity, and this was such wise understanding, and it's something that actually the Lord has been dealing with me on, so I was really glad to hear it somewhere else. And but this understanding that, you remember, I've said a million times, how many times in this church have I said, salvation doesn't start when you die, it starts when you get born again. Like, if you understand that you just jump started life into eternity, then you'll live right through into eternity with that in mind. And that's exactly what he was saying. The importance of living with eternity in mind. Praise the Lord. Because I'm telling you what, as I've been dealing with him and dealing with this stuff and seeing this thing, one of the things that I've learned, all the things that we fight for in life, it doesn't matter. All this natural stuff, I mean, we're wasting our time. If we truly understood the word, we would only be after the plan of God. And this convicted me too. It has been convicting me. But we would just be after God and let him give us what we want. Wouldn't even worry about it because we have an understanding. Jesus promised that he would deliver all things to us. We don't have to spend time worrying about our own stuff and how we're going to get. Not if you're in the plan of God. Now, if you're not in the plan of God, yeah, you got to worry. Yeah. Praise the Lord because he ain't delivering it. But amen. I'm not getting far fast. Sorry. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So we're not entering by our goodness or our greatness, but by his. By a new, listen to this, a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through that veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. I think that goes along with saying he's utterly trustworthy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hold fast the confession of our hope. What is confession of our hope? The confession of our hope is what we speak, the words we believe. And so if you want to know what you believe, think about what you speak. And if it doesn't line up with the words, well, then words of the Lord, then by God, you got to change your speaking. Yeah. Amen. This is the importance, because what happens is that that's what true faith is recognizing his reality as the truth, not yours. But see, we still stay focused on our reality. Well, How am I gonna pay this bill? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I knew that some of this would come up in a message at some point. I thought it'd be after he was dead, but and don't think that I'm being cold by saying that. I mean, when I was talking about the missionaries and how they are and talk, you should see the poor nurses. They have to sit there and listen to him. I mean, seriously, because he talks about that. And I don't mean that as in disrespect. He says the same thing I'm saying. Amen. The poor nurses, they have to say here, you know. Praise the Lord. But what was I going? Where was I getting at that? Nah, I'm sorry. I got off on the rabbit trail and I got lost. We'll get back there if it's important. But I want to see where I was reading. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts. Yeah, our confession. Knowing what we're saying, knowing what we truly believe. See, when you understand the fullness of when you believe what you preach, life changes. See, I know what I was going to say. The stuff doesn't matter anymore. Do you know what my grandpa does not care about right now? He doesn't care about taxes. He doesn't care about the mortgage payment. He doesn't have one, but he doesn't care about it anyway. He doesn't care about any debt owed. He doesn't have any debt, but he doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't care about, you know what he doesn't care about? He doesn't care about food. He's at the point now where food is just disgusting to him. He can't really even eat it. But what is that? He doesn't care about it. It doesn't mean anything to him. No, he shouldn't have to get us to that point before we stop caring about things. But my point is that Grandpa tells me every time I walk in, you're looking at a dead man. Yeah, we're quite bold, right? Because he knows where he's going. He knows he's not long for this world. Now, I don't suggest you know, focusing on death constantly and all that stuff. That's not good either. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the Bible calls us dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. That's what baptism is. If you've been baptized, you've died to yourself and you've been born again to the Lord. So a dead man doesn't care about what he eats. He doesn't care about what he drives. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have any desires, because you are still living, and there is a truth to that, and we can still live. But the point is to not make it something that even matters. To be so, enthralled with God and his purpose in your life. You know, one of the things I told Grandpa, I didn't tell him all of it. I told Grandpa, I was like, there's a lot that I'm taking away from this. You know, and one of the things is I'll tell you, there are two things last week that I took away. Number one, I took away this because my grandpa said things to me that I've never heard before, and it meant everything to me. And that was really the moment. I didn't even realize it, but it was the moment I was waiting for. But the one thing is that the Lord started speaking to me as I was leaving there. So often, we use our words to tear down instead of building up. So one of the things that I'm taking away from all the things that I learned here is that taking away of what I speak and how I speak it, and not just about my life, but how I speak to people, when I get mad to people, do I speak to them and do I start tearing them down? Because God gave us our tongues and He gave us the words and He gave us this word and He said, make this word your word. And when we look at people, we're supposed to speak this to them. We're supposed to speak life to them, because this is life. And so if we speak life to people, glory to God, then we're building up. We're doing what. So the one thing I took away is the importance of words. Well, another thing that I'm taking away from this situation is it's just a desire to just do God's will and not to be so focused. You can ask my wife. I said, let's sell everything off. I was telling you, I go a little too far sometimes too, but I'm like, let's sell it all off. Let's just get rid of everything. Listen, you don't have to do that. But the point is I'm not going to live. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to just focus on what I get or what I can get next time or whatever. You know, we want to be out of debt. That's a big thing for us, but we believe that's a godly desire. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to be out of debt just so we can go on more Disney vacations or something like that. Praise the Lord, I don't want to get those evil people my money anyways. It's free, no charge. I mean, if you go, well, you know, I would go to Disney again. I'm just not going to give them a lot of it, you know. Praise the Lord. But, you can't avoid it completely. I was mad today when I woke up. I was stirred about some things. I want to get rid of Google, and I want to get rid of my iPhone. I want to get rid of everybody who's trying to tell me that I can't do. You know, there's certain things you can't put on your devices anymore because they tell you you can. But guess what? We've gotten to a place where there's no other choices. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because people have made their dependency the things of this earth. That is why we see the things of this earth taking over. It's not God's fault. People are so dependent on this stuff. So I'm just like, I ain't going to be dependent on it anymore. But whatever I have to do, man, whatever I have to do, I'm just not going to be dependent on this world and the things of this world. Only God. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying, now listen, you can't take it out of context. It doesn't mean it's wrong if we use it or something, but it's not going to be my dependency. It's not going to be the thing that I have to have. I'm not going to have, stuff isn't going to have to be a thing anymore with me. It just isn't. I'll let God deliver what he has for me. And you know what I found? When God delivers what he has for you, then there's no sorrow in it. You know, you don't have to argue about, there's a lot of things I desire, but you know what? If it ain't God, I don't care. I don't care. That's what I'm doing with my desires. I'm saying, there you go. Kick to the curb. I don't want you anymore. I don't want my desires. Because all my desires ever did was lead me away from God, and all I want to do is be with God. And you know what the Bible says? That if I'm that good with God, if I have my heart that set on God, he gives me the desires of my heart anyways. So I don't really care. I ain't worried about it. I ain't thinking about it anymore. I ain't pursuing it anymore. My life is not about the pursuit of the stuff that I can get. It's not about the pursuit of the kinds of things, kind of cars I can drive. You know what my life is about? It's not, but praise God, my life is about loving him and doing his will, fulfilling his plan, and that's what I want it to be. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll go there together, brother. Amen. Glory to God. Let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider, listen to this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, when you have to stir something up, sometimes it's settled. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to stir up love. Why? Because it's settled on the bottom. Amen? Praise the Lord. But, the salad dress is so much better when it's shaken up, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Chocolate milk ain't no good with the chocolate sitting on the bottom. Amen? But you get intense chocolate milk, give that thing a shake, and boy, does it taste good. Glory to God. And that's exactly what we need to be. Let's stir ourselves up. We stir up love and good works. Amen? Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. Shaking that stir. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, it wasn't until coronavirus I truly learned what the scripture means. That word forsaking means to utterly abandon. Forsaking isn't just not coming to church, but forsaking is turning your back on it. Forsaking is when you there can be people sitting in these seats. Not here tonight. You're all excited. You're all good. Praise the Lord. But there could be people sitting in these seats. Any given service, there could be people sitting here who have forsaken the assembling together. Why? Because they didn't come with the purpose of being together, stirring up love and good works. They came to see what they could get. They come to see, well, I want my fix. I want my help. I want my need met. I want this. I want that. I want. It's all about them. That's not the gospel of Jesus. Jesus says, no greater love has a man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And then he said, love them like I loved them. Praise the Lord. You're to love God's way of loving. What is that? Laying down your life. Again, it doesn't mean that you can't have nothing and nothing like that. That's never what God said. Do you think Jesus didn't enjoy himself? Of course he did. And it's a sad gospel that tries to teach us that Jesus didn't have a life here. He had people he was close to. He had things he liked to do. He liked to sit by the sea. Glory to God. Is there anyone else who likes to sit and just think, you know, I mean, that's the way that the Lord was. He didn't just walk around and never have any enjoyment in life. That's not what God has called us to. But he's called us to do it with their focus on him. And when our focus is on him, he truly makes us, he brings us to that place of being able to really enjoy it. Because here's the thing, and I've learned this just a little bit. Some people never learn this. I'm glad I learned it in just a little. Because if you learn it a little, then it means you don't got to go through a lot to get it. Right? What I learned in a little is this, that no matter what I get that I desire, if God is in it, it never satisfies me. Actually, no matter what material thing I ever get, it never satisfies me. I've never had a material thing that I've wanted. I've never had, my wife is the fulfillment of everything I ever desired. But I'm going to tell you right now that she is not my satisfaction. And I'm not hers. Well, maybe a little bit. No, just kidding. But she's not, because here's the thing. You learn when you have a relationship, even if it's the most perfect thing, and it was in the beginning, it was the most perfect thing. I'm getting to the end, so don't end there in the beginning. The end is still good. Amen. But even with that, okay, then there becomes a time where you've been together for a while, and now you know each other. You know each other's quirks. You know each other's trials. You know each other's stuff. And so that annoys you, and it rubs you the wrong way. It's an abrasive. Praise the Lord. And so we have these things, and we learn these things about each other. And so that which was perfect doesn't seem so perfect anymore. But this is what we know, that it's perfect if it's God. And if our heart is on God and we focus on God, that's why our relationship is so good. It has nothing to do with how perfect we are, but our relationship is good is because we have submitted it completely to God. And we know that about each other, glory to God. And that's why we enjoy each other so much. We have not been given some key that somebody else doesn't have. And it doesn't matter if your spouse is here or not, you can still do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. God intends for us to be in peace as much as it's up to us at all times. And if that's our intent and our direction, then we have something to say about it, don't we? Amen. Sometimes finding the answers to faith can seem daunting, but we must remain with a pure heart. When we're looking for answers, when we're not sure, when you get to those places, you'll have times in your faith walk where you're just not sure about some things. It'll seem daunting to you. You got to utterly trust God. He who's begun a good work will complete it. I believe it. And I'm going to tell you what, this is the narrow ledge that's right there. If you don't, then there's no hope. That's your ledge. God will bring us to that point, and I believe he does this many times throughout our life, will bring us to that point where it's either him or nothing. And what I mean by that is that the only hope we have is him. And so if it fails, all our eggs are in that basket. God has brought me to that point. In fact, I'll tell you what, folks, this past year has been that for me. That this whole season, this whole thing that I've been going through, and I'm just seeing this even in fullness right now, or more full right now as I speak these words, that it's been about that. Do you trust him? Is he utterly trustworthy to you, as the word says? Do you embrace what he says, or do you have to have the fulfillment of something to idealize what you think, or to bring you to that place? Amen. Do you fully embrace what God says? Amen. If we're driving, no, that was another point I was going to make, but it's not pertinent to here. Don't worry about us driving. We're just going to keep going. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:18 in the Amplified says, "But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and the organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit, and with the best adaptation." I love that version. Oh my gosh. God has put, if you are here because God has brought you here, then God has caught, no matter what the abrasiveness is, there's an adaptation. There's some part of you, there's a part of you that you need to play in a role in that. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, that expands out as we're part of, you know, we're part of this church, but then we're part of the family churches, and then we're part of those who we're connected to, and so on and so forth. God connects us in the body as he sees fit, because he knows what works best. Amen? He knows what works best, and he wished it to be that way. Glory to God. And so we can trust him as we're in the place that we need to be. Glory to God. We can believe him for all that he has brought us for. Amen. And I want to close here. Yeah. I think I'm going to go on down to, because I think that point's been made. We're going to go on down to, go ahead and go to Ephesians 2. I think these will be the scriptures we close in, Ephesians 2. We can struggle with why on something and miss the what. See, you can sit there all your life and say, "Well, God, why have you placed me here? Why did you put me here? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that?" And all that why does is make us miss the what. What are we here for? You know what I mean? Like we when I mean why, when I'm saying why, it's not like, you know, "Okay, Lord, why am I here? Why do you want me to be here? What do you have for me to do?" That's not the why I'm talking about. I'm talking about, why am I going through this trial? Listen, there's lots of reasons the Bible gives us for the trials. Those aren't for us to focus on. They give us a lot of reasons, so we understand that there's lots of reasons for trials. If it's something that you can stop, of course, the Bible gives us wisdom for that, and that's part of being together and with a local body, that you can, you know, it's not just you trying to figure things out, but you get another group of people that can help you figure out why you're stupid, right? Praise the Lord. Thank God. I mean, I thank God. I'm top of that list, folks. I thank God I got people around me to show me how I'm stupid. Amen? Amen. My wife is too, brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. They've got a special anointing. Yeah. I wish you had a magic wand too, but praise the Lord. But we can struggle with the why. And I'm talking about for me. I wasn't talking about for you. I was talking to my wife, not you. And she concurred, yeah. Yeah, real funny. Oh, praise the Lord. Why he's brought us together matters way less than what he's called us together for. And that's another thing. I want to give the Spirit credit for that, because I do believe that came out to me in the Spirit. But why he's brought us together matters way less than what he's called us together for. The purpose that he calls us here together. If we can focus on that. You know, here's the thing about the plan of God. You know, I say all the time, and I believe this with all my heart, the plan of God is found by walking it out step by step, taking each step. How he does it that way, I don't know. I have an inkling of why, actually, because it takes faith. There's an element of faith, and that's at least part of it. But as we walk out the plan of God, as we fulfill, as we hunger and desire for those things and we go looking for God, he's not so far from us that we're not going to find him. He's calling us to him. And as we do that, what we do is we get better at hearing the call. And as we get better at hearing the call, we get better at following direction. And when we get better at following direction, we get better at getting over things and getting through things. And amen? Praise the Lord. Another thing my grandpa said to me, I have to tell him if I get to talk to him again. I don't know if I will. But if I get to talk to him again, I'll have to tell him how much he got brought up, you know, in these services. But in this service especially. But yeah, Grandpa preached a whole message on it. He just loved that. Praise the Lord. But he told me the other day, he said, you know, I figured out that he's like, I didn't know anything for the first half of my life. And he's like, that's true. And he said, you don't know anything for the first half of your life. And I can verify that that's true, at least in my life and most of the people that I know. Amen. That for the first half of your life, you know nothing. You're just learning, you know, and that's what it is. And then you start getting an idea of some things. Amen. I want to go out of this world knowing a lot, though. You know what I mean? I want to have some stuff figured out, praise the Lord. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, we'll get there. Amen. Ephesians 2:8. This is really important. I really wanted to get to this place. And I really want to get to verse 10, but I brought up 2:8 on purpose because verses 8 and 9 are ones that get quoted a lot in the Christian faith. Amen. It says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We understand that God has saved us through faith or through grace. It's not something we've done except for receiving it or accepting it, but it's nothing that we've done that has got us there. Amen. And that's so important for us to understand. It is good that you know you can't do anything to earn your way into heaven. Amen. But it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship. See, he saved us through grace. He recreated us in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Folks, I can't say this any other way. God has not created lone rangers in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a body. No body part does well on its own. God has called us together. And if he's called us together, there's purpose together. There's things that we can only get together. You know, there are people out there that are they're pleading with God to find answers. And he's like, the answer is being connected to the body. If you would connect to the body, you would be healed. My wife, didn't you touch on that on Sunday? Well, yeah, I mean, so praise the Lord. I didn't listen to the message, but... you know, I got the cliff notes. We're connected together. We're created for a work together. And as we come together, and you might think, well, I don't know. And I'm going to use an example right tonight. Can I use an example? After Sunday's message, you know, Jennifer came up to my wife, and she said, you know, I've wanted to reach out to certain people before, but she's like, I don't know their number, or don't have their address. There's no way of, and no one really knows or whatever. She's like, would it be okay if I put together a directory of the people in our church? And of course, we're going to talk about that and have some specifics. But it's a good time because I forgot in announcements we were going to announce this, that we're going to have this. If you want to participate in this, in that you want people to have your number, or you want someone in the church to have access to your number, potentially your address or something like that, great. If not, that's fine too. That's up to you. But just nobody can contact you, so don't get mad. If you get mad and nobody calls you, don't get mad at us about that too, because it's your own fault. Praise the Lord. But the point, that's an example. Like, here's something. Okay, here's something on my heart. Something that was preached. This is something I can do, and I'm willing to do. And it's like, yeah, that's a great idea. My wife told me. I was like, praise the Lord. That's awesome. See, that's following the Spirit. But see, this is the greatness of doing things like that. Jennifer isn't the only one with good ideas. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So she's got great, that's a great idea. Amen. But as you desire to do the work of God together, as you see you're fit, okay, I'm part of this. This is something I can do. You know, what about this? And so as you see you're fit and there's an option to do something, then God can lead you into more. And God will do that in each thing. And many of you found that place, you know what I mean, with in your connection to the body. I can't tell you exactly how you're connected or what you should do. But the Holy Spirit will start to deal with you on things. And if you're willing to be part and connected to that, he will reveal to you and he'll reveal to me, and then it'll come together good. Amen. We're all intended to be part of the church body. Amen. Glory to God. You know, Pastor or Dr. Dufresne used to call some people the SOBs of the church, the Sunday only bunch. Glory to God. I don't know what you were thinking, but this, the Sunday only bunch. And those are literally the people that will, if they show up at all, it'll only be on Sunday, and it's just to show up to get what they want, and then they're gone. That's not what God has called us to. And so if that's what you want, if you want, well, I just want church when church is there, and then I want to be part of it the rest of the time. You want to be part of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ has called us together. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has to do everything. Everybody has to start some group or start some directory or anything like that. You know, I don't want 50 people coming up, hey, I got an idea for a directory too, Pastor. You know, I say, like, that's not what we're all called to. Like, that's just an example, one thing, how someone was stirred by something in a message, said, here, this is what I can do, and put it out there. Praise the Lord. And it turns out to be good, you know. So as we move together, let's grow together. Let's grow into these things of God. These are the things that will make a church that is untouchable from the devil, but effective in what we do. As we go out and we do those things, as you go out there and live your life, and as we come together, it's time to come together. You know, all these things, God is moving us into a greater, but I believe that it starts with these kind of things. And so, you know, Tuesday nights, I know Tuesday nights we're going to be getting into some times of prayer coming up and stuff like that. And so we're going to try to make that like a thing that's known, so you can come prepared to pray. Because if it's a time of just prayer, and this is stepping out for me too to do this. So believe me, this is new for all of us. But I know that this is what God, these kinds of things are what God calls us to do. And when I mean times to pray, it doesn't mean that we're going to come together and we're all going to sit here and prophesy and, you know, always lay hands on each other or anything like that. But what it's going to mean is that we're going to, if we come together for prayer, we'll be seeking God on what he has for us corporately to do. And God will reveal, he'll start to reveal plans like that and speak to the hearts of the people. And I'm sure we'll discover things that we don't know, including myself. I mean, I'm expecting God for that. Thank God I don't know everything. And thank God I know that I don't know everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're looking for the Holy Spirit and what he has for us. So going forward, I really believe this is a good springboard into, we talked about springboards a couple weeks ago. Well, I did anyways, and just listen, praise the Lord. But it was a good springboard into when we do Tuesday nights. You know, we're going to follow, you know, I can tell you they probably won't be every single Tuesday in the sense that, you know, we may take periods of time off on Tuesdays for different reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's the way the Spirit leads, but we'll follow that as we go, amen. But praise the Lord. Thank you for being with us tonight so much. I know, praise God, I thank God, the Lord, for a message from heaven. And see, that's exactly what I mean. I come with the scriptures, but believing God for the content, and he brought it out. Amen.